This is Audible.
Blackstone Publishing presents Save the Date by Monica Murphy. This book is read by Ava Lucas and Jack DuPont. 1. Caroline. They call me the fixer, as in, I know how to fix everything. Everything. Okay, fine. The mythical they don't really call me that. I'm just joking. But what my coworkers do call me is the bride whisperer. That, my dears, is factual. I definitely know how to talk to brides. Future brides, bridezillas, crying brides, extra happy brides, anxious brides, vicious brides, sad brides. I've seen them all. I've handled them all. And I know how to keep them calm. Reassure them that everything is going to be just fine. Even when they're in the middle of a huge crisis like picking out color choices and fonts, I'm right there by their side, telling them that they're going to make the right choice. Trust me, there's no secret to this, no particular approach you have to make or skill you need to learn. Just be nice. Listen to them. Ignore their tantrums. Indulging bad behavior is a huge mistake. Make them feel like they're special and voila! They're happy. Now, you might be thinking I'm a wedding planner, but I'm not. God, no. I do play an important part in their planning process, though. Over the years, it's become a real thing to use my services not just once, but twice, maybe even three times if we're lucky. What is it that I do, you ask? Well, I work at a stationery store. Sounds boring, I'm sure, but it's not. It's so not. And where I work isn't just any stationery store either. It's high-end, top-of-the-line, if you have to ask, you can't afford type stuff. We use the highest quality ink and paper. We sell beautiful stationery, cards, and trinkets for the hoity-toity types who frequent the store, and the vacationers who find themselves browsing for needless knickknacks. For the future brides and grooms, we sell custom save-the-date cards, wedding invitations, and thank-you cards. Otherwise known as the trifecta. If you aren't aware, couples nowadays like to send out an invite to the invite, a la save the date cards, to let their nearest and dearest know about their upcoming nuptials. Some people think save the date cards are a waste of time and money, and I get where they're coming from. I really do. If you're on a budget, they can easily be stricken from the must-need list. But they're cute. Plus, people are so busy, like your schedule has a schedule, you know? So you have to make sure that people are aware that your big day is coming up. It's important. Wait, no, it's more than that. It's vital. Okay, so I'm the first person you meet with at the Noteworthy Stationery Store. Cute name, right? When you make an appointment to look at invitations. Actually, I'm pretty much the only person you meet with, because that's my department. I'm the Save the Date and Wedding Invite Expert. Normally, I don't book appointments before the store opens, which is 10 o'clock on the dot. But sometimes, people's schedules don't allow for them to meet me at 10 a.m. or 2 p.m. or 5 p.m. Some people want to make an appointment at 8 in the morning. I'm not a morning person. I can be a little cranky. Okay, maybe a lot. Just ask my roommate, Stella. In the early morning, she'd rather deal with anyone else, even her bossy big brothers who annoy the crap out of her, rather than me. I'm kind of a monster before I get my caffeine. Luckily enough, Stella happens to work at a bakery slash coffee shop her family owns. She's the head barista during the morning shift. And on that very rare occasion when I have to meet a client early in the morning, she's already got me covered. Thank God for friends. This very morning, I breeze into Sweet Dreams Cafe, waving at Stella's dad, Lorenzo, who's working the cash register. He's talking to one customer, making change for another, yet he still manages to greet me. The man is a most impressive multitasker. I head straight for the pickup counter where I see my skinny vanilla latte waiting for me, my name written on the side of the cup in Stella's familiar scrawl. Without hesitation, I grab it, inhaling deeply before I take a sip. Just a tiny sip so I can savor it. I close my eyes for a second, maybe two, and when I open them, I find a guy standing there. watching me. And he's not just any guy. He's cute. Wait, no, not cute. He's hot. Dark hair, blue eyes, wearing a suit that fits him perfectly. I know just from looking at the fabric that it's custom. Expensive. He's smiling at me, and I'm scowling at him in return because the caffeine hasn't quite hit my bloodstream yet. So I'm not on top of my game.
You looked like you were having a moment.
His voice is deep, rich. His face? Vaguely familiar? I stand a little straighter, take another sip of my coffee as I contemplate the man in front of me because, for some reason, I still can't come up with anything to say. Listen, I always have something to say. But this guy, this gorgeous, well-dressed, maybe stranger, is leaving me a little dumbstruck? Huh.
That moment you were just having with your coffee.
He continues, gesturing at the cup I'm clutching in both of my hands, like it's my baby, which this morning, every morning, it is.
She loves coffee,
Stella says from behind me. Glancing over my shoulder, I give her a look that says, shush!
I can see that.
The amusement in his voice is obvious. He thinks it's funny. The sacred moment I was having with my latte made him smile. I wouldn't mind coming up with other ways to make him smile. Whoa, where did that thought come from?
What I want to know is, how did you get such special treatment?
I blink at him like I'm an uncomprehending idiot. Excuse me?
Well, I've been here for the last 15 minutes. First, standing in line.
He gestures at the line of customers that trails out the door.
And now waiting for my order.
Guilt fills me. Just a tiny bit. Sweet Dreams Cafe is the most popular bakery and coffee shop in Carmel by the Sea. All the tourists love it. All the locals love it, too. It's been in Stella's family for generations.
Yet, you skip past the line, walk straight in here, and grab your ready-made drink within a few seconds of your arrival. Do you have a fast pass?
A brow lifts, and I'm hit with a quiver. Like Cupid just drew back his bow and shot that arrow right in my heart. Or perhaps that arrow struck me in other places. Who knew a brow lift could be so sexy? A fast pass? I repeat. Like Disneyland?
Yes.
He nods, takes a step closer. Oh, I can smell him. And he smells just like he emerged from the forest after rolling around in the raspy pine needles for the last 24 hours.
Like Disneyland. I didn't know they offered fast passes here. How do I get one?
She's my roommate. Stella answers for me, and I throw her another glare, one that says, please don't speak for me. I'm perfectly capable of doing this myself. Stella's not picking up on my vibe, though. She just keeps talking.
I make her a skinny vanilla latte every morning. This one is just a little earlier than usual.
She explains as she's working that giant espresso machine like the awesome multitasker that she is. Clearly, she inherited her talents from her dad.
What a perk that the barista is your roommate,
he says with a faint smile aimed right at me. Huh. Maybe he's Cupid. That smile is making my heart zing, and my heart rarely zings. I can't remember the last time it zinged, and there's no denying that other parts of me are zinging, too. It's pretty great, I say weakly, taking a giant gulp of my latte. It's brutally hot, and I probably just scorched the roof of my mouth, but this morning, this moment, is proving to be worth it. He doesn't stop smiling, which makes me think he's either A, really friendly, B, extremely interested in me, or C, one of those attractive serial killers a la Ted Bundy. Not that I think he's actually a serial killer, but come on. Do you realize how hard it is to trust men? I find it very difficult. I'm in my 20s and proudly single. I mean, yeah, sure. I'm looking for the one who isn't. I've used dating apps, and I've Tinder swiped more than a few dudes in my lifetime. But honestly, they weren't good matches. They never are, it seems. The one is also the impossible catch. My mother says my expectations are too high. But this is the same woman who's been divorced 4 times and is working on making her 5th marriage happen at this very moment, so I'm thinking her standards are too freaking low. But who am I to judge? My phone buzzes in my bag and I reach for it, blinking when I see what time it is. The buzz was the alarm I set for myself last night, reminding me I have to be at Noteworthy in approximately 5 minutes. And Noteworthy is exactly a 6-minute walk from the cafe. When I'm wearing flats. Of course today I'm wearing heels. Extra high ones. Nude colored with a shiny patent leather sheen that sounds atrocious, but isn't. They are very glamorous heels that have that Louboutin look without that red-bottomed price tag. It's going to take more than 6 minutes to get to the store in my faux Louboutins, and I hate being late. Oh, God, I despise it. Why didn't I set my alarm for 10 minutes before my appointment? I'm such an idiot sometimes. Sorry, I have to go. I tell the guy, suit guy, vaguely familiar, but maybe that's just wishful thinking guy. Hot guy. Smiling, sexy. I wish I could talk to him more, guy. I turn toward the counter and wave. Bye, Stella. Knock him dead, Caroline. Stella calls as she's frothing milk, her cheeks pink from the steam.
Good luck,
he offers, even though he doesn't know what I'm doing or if I even need luck. I appreciate the gesture, though. I offer up a quick smile of thanks aimed at my new crush, then without another word, I hightail it out of there, silently cursing my shoe choice the entire walk to Noteworthy. The bride-to-be is already waiting for me when I arrive, pacing in front of the doors while chatting loudly on her phone. Please hurry. You don't want to be late, she says pointedly, her words dripping with ice. Her gaze finds mine and she smiles, though it doesn't quite reach her eyes. Oh, finally. I believe she's here. See you in a minute. Okay. I read an article in Cosmo when I was a teen about people judging you within 3 seconds of meeting you. And when it comes to meeting my future brides, it's 100% true. I can usually tell what these brides are going to be like from that first moment. And I'm usually right. I can tell this one isn't going to be easy. She meant for me to hear what she said. That was a jab at my tardiness, and in her mind, it's a strike against me. But I can't go flashing my fake Louboutins at her and expect sympathy, because from where I'm standing, I can clearly see she's wearing the real deal, and that fills me with an uncomfortable surge of envy I don't want to acknowledge at the moment. So, I decide to kill her with kindness instead. Hi! I drag the word out as I approach the front doors with my keys, my lips curved into that perfect, I can't wait to learn more about you, smile. You must be Tiffany.
And you must be Carolyn?
She wrinkles her perfect, pert nose in a way I bet she thinks is cute. Oh, and I'm fairly certain she called me by the wrong name on purpose. Caroline. I stress the end of my name, approaching the front doors and sticking the key into the lock, turning it before I push the door open. I stand to the side, holding the door for her so she can enter the building before me. Even though the lights aren't on, there's enough natural sunlight coming in from the giant front window that we can see inside. I'm so incredibly sorry that I'm late. Needed to get some fuel this early in the morning. I hold my almost empty to-go cup up for her inspection. She sniffs as she walks by me and enters the store, flicking her long auburn hair behind her shoulder. She's painfully beautiful. As in, it pains me to admit that she's so freaking beautiful when I can sense she might have a black soul. But maybe I'm being too judgmental. Caffeine is bad for you, she says as she turns on her heel to face me. It's like a drug, you know. The best legal drug in the free world. I want to tell her, but I don't. Instead, I force that smile to stay on my face, flick on the lights and ask, Is your fiancé able to make it to the appointment this morning? He's the entire reason we're meeting this early. In the initial contact email Tiffany Ratcliffe sent me, she said this.
My fiancé is a very important man who has an extremely busy schedule. I do hope you can accommodate us and meet at a suitable hour.
Their definition of a suitable hour was 7 in the morning, but I countered with 8 and Tiffany agreed. So this guy better show up or I'm going to be pissed.
He's running a little late this morning,
Tiffany says as she slowly meanders around the shop. All the expensive trinkets and candles and white canvas printed with colorful, inspiring platitudes are in the front. Those are for the many tourists who wander in off the street. The good stuff, my command center, is in the back. Running late. Something I can completely relate to, I tell her, trying to make light of the situation, but girlfriend can't even bother to crack a smile. Determination steals my spine, and I drain the last dregs of my latte before I toss the cup in the nearby wastebasket. I will break her. I will make her adore me by the end of our business relationship.
Do you have a book we can look at, with samples?
Tiffany asks, knocking me from my, I will make you love me, thoughts. Jeez, I sound like a stalker. Of course! I gesture to the giant metal and glass table that I like to call my domain. There is a hardbacked binder sitting on said table that is stuffed full of save-the-date card examples awaiting her perusal. Why don't you have a seat? Tiffany settles her skinny butt in the chair and cracks open the binder, flipping the pages with quiet efficiency. I take the moment to go to my little desk tucked into the corner, grabbing a slim white folder from the stack of many slim white folders that are sitting in my outbox. I give these to every potential client. The folder is full of information to help them make their decisions, including past client recommendations that make me sound like a superstar. I don't mean to toot my own horn, but in business, it's necessary. I have to convince these people I am the one they need. I am the only one who will make a difference and who will deliver them the right product. Sounds dramatic, but it's true. In the wedding industry, we all do this. The best florist in town, the most magnificent cake baker, the photographer. We have to play up our talents. Here's some information for you, I tell her as I sit in the chair across from Tiffany, sliding the glossy white folder in her direction. She doesn't even bother looking at it. She's too busy flipping pages, quickly scanning the samples, wrinkling her nose before turning to the next one. Flip, scan, wrinkle, flip, repeat. I take her in quietly, trying to see what her absentee groom sees in her. I do this a lot. Sometimes I can totally see the love radiating between the future bride and groom, or the chemistry. Some of the couples I've worked with were muy caliente, if you catch my drift. Considering the fiancé isn't here yet, and where the hell is he? I can't help but think he must be a jerk, like Tiffany appears to be. Most likely he's a handsome jerk, because Tiffany is a beautiful jerk, with the gorgeous red hair and the golden brown eyes and the perfect set of boobs and the heavily made-up face that doesn't actually look heavily made up at all, more like she's merely emphasizing her assets, those big brown eyes, her matte red lips, and downplaying the negatives, like the contouring on her nose, which totally slims it down, but not quite enough. I've watched a lot of makeup tutorials on YouTube. I know of which I speak.
Oh!
Tiffany's breathy exclamation pulls me from my thoughts, and I realize she's staring at a page, a particular sample, with hearts in her eyes. Seriously, don't you wish emojis came to life? I certainly do. You found something you like? I fold my hands and rest them on the table, eager to grab an order form so I can start filling it out. But she's what I call a one-legger. As in, someone who's wanting to buy something as a couple, yet they come in all by themselves. Meeting with only the future bride could be a mistake. She might need her fiancé's opinion before she can order anything. Or his money, or his approval. Yes, I've seen it all. Even worse is the one-legger guy who shows up for the appointment. I mean, come on. We know who makes all the decisions on these kinds of things for the wedding. The bride, not the groom. Speaking of the freaking late groom.
I think I found the exact thing I want, but I probably shouldn't make that final decision without Alex here.
Tiffany explains, her heart eyes never straying from the sample she's fallen in love with.
Maybe you should call him.
I tell her, my voice gentle. He needs to be here. The reason we're here so freaking early is because of him. It's downright rude that he hasn't shown up yet.
He did confirm with you that he would be here this morning, correct? Yes, he did.
She snaps, pulling her iPhone from her giant, pink, iridescent Chanel bag, opening the phone with face recognition. I still have an iPhone 7 Plus. I don't know what that bougie life is like. She taps the screen a few times with a perfectly long, perfectly coffin-shaped nail before holding the phone to her ear. Her volume setting is so loud I can hear the ringing. I can hear her fiancé's voice when he answers.
Where are you?
Tiffany somehow hisses, drawing out the U.
You're 15 minutes late.
Had to take a phone call.
I hear him say, irritation filling his voice. His awfully familiar deep voice. Huh. I don't know who this Alex character is. I don't know any Alexes, though. I've dealt with a few grooms named Alex in the past. Oh, and that one Alex from when I was a kid. How could I forget him? Tall, skinny, he wore glasses. Was my older brother Carter's best friend. Gave me my first kiss when we were playing hide-and-seek at night, and we hid together in a storage shed in my backyard. Yeah, that Alex. Haven't seen him in years. Have no clue what he's up to. Can barely remember his last name, if I'm being honest. He switched schools right after he and my brother graduated the 8th grade. Something about a private high school, maybe boarding school, so he could get a supposed better education.
Hurry up, she snaps, her irritation ultra obvious. I've already found what I wanted.
Then what's stopping you? Get it.
He's such a guy, making it sound way easier than it is.
But I want you here, baby. I really need your opinion. You know how much it means to me.
Tiffany whines.
Ugh.
Does this guy find her whining appealing? Because I'm already over it, and it literally just started. Not that she can see beyond the smile on my face. Damn it. I'm thrilled to be here at 8:15 in the morning to assist her while her fiancé takes phone calls and neglects us. Whatever.
I'm almost there.
I can tell he's not almost here. How, I'm not sure, but it sounds like a line.
I'm just around the corner.
Now that is a total line. We aren't particularly around the corner from anything. We're right on Ocean Avenue. Nestled between an art gallery and a children's clothing shop that sells $50 onesies. No, I'm not kidding.
Hurry up,
Tiffany repeats just before she pulls the phone away from her face, stabbing at the red button with her index finger and finishing the call. Her smile is saccharine sweet when she aims it at me.
Do you have anything in wedding invitations that matches this save the date card?
I do. Without hesitation, I pick up the even larger invitation sample binder and grab a hunk of the pages, flipping them to the left before I start scanning each individual page. I know the matching invitation is in this section. The bell above the door rings, indicating that someone has arrived, and I'm surprised he's here so soon. I guess he was practically around the corner. Tiffany leaps out of her chair and heads to the man who's now standing just inside the entrance. I hear the gentle murmur of conversation, and I tell myself to turn away to give them a moment of privacy, but it's like I can't. Instead, I watch her envelop the tall man in the perfect suit in a smothering embrace before pressing a smacking kiss to his lips. Every single hair on my body stands on end when I catch a glimpse of the man's face. Well, probably not every hair, but close enough. I'm on edge because I know this man. Well, not know him, but I recognize that perfect suit. The shock of dark hair. Tiffany moves so she's standing beside him, curling her arm through his as she leads him to me. The moment I fully take him in, my heart drops into my stomach, or maybe even lower, like maybe I'm going to give birth to my heart and it's going to leave my body forever because the disappointment flooding me feels like an actual living thing. Shakily, I rise to my feet as Tiffany announces, "This is my fiancé, Alexander Wilder. Alex, this is..."
"Caroline."
Alex freaking Wilder finishes for her, his expression full-on dazed and confused. "Oh, God. This isn't just Alex the cute guy at the coffee shop. This is Alex, the boy who was my first kiss, the boy who was my brother's best friend. Yeah, that Alex." Tiffany appears dazed and confused, too, but only for a second before she blinks herself into full-on shrewd mode as she says, "Oh, well." There's a heavy pause, one that makes me increasingly uncomfortable with every second that ticks by, while her fiancé doesn't seem fazed in the least.
"So, you two know each other?"
In full-on deny mode, I immediately say no, while Alex, stupid jerk Wilder, says yes at the same exact time, making us look like a pack of liars.
"Oh, ha ha!"
I actually say, "ha ha," and if I could slap my forehead, I would. I'm making a complete fool of myself, and I don't like it. But knowing who this guy really is making me antsy. And doesn't he recognize me? At least a little bit? "We spoke at the coffee shop earlier," I tell Tiffany with a faint smile and a little shrug, like it was no big deal. And it wasn't, you know? Just because I thought he was hot, just because I thought we had a teeny tiny connection. Come on, we so didn't. That was just early morning banter before I had a full dose of caffeine. Totally misconstrued. Oh, and the fact that I knew him a long time ago. No big deal. I won't bring it up if he doesn't.
"She cut in line,"
Alex adds smoothly.
"And after you left the coffee shop, that's when I realized I do know you. Through your brother, Carter."
Damn it, he just brought it up. I haven't talked to Carter in a while, and that's because he's in Southern California now doing what he does best, selling real estate. I wonder if he stayed in contact with Alex, the boy of my long-ago teenage dreams, who's standing in front of me now, extra hot and with a freaking fiancé. He has changed. A lot. I didn't hang out much with my brother and his friend back then because Carter was so mean to me when we were kids, and he hated having a pesky little sister. The jerk. I remember Alex being quiet, kind of nerdy with the awkwardly tall, skinny body and the glasses he was constantly pushing up his nose. Carter did all the talking back then, but that's probably because we were at our house and Carter was showing off.
"Right. You're Carter's friend,"
I finally say, my voice faint. I know he knows Carter, but I'm still having a difficult time wrapping my head around this.
"We were best friends through middle school, though we lost touch after eighth grade. We're friends on Facebook now."
Alex steps forward with his hand out. Oh, God. He wants me to shake his hand. And I don't want to. I don't want to touch him at all. This is going to be bad. So bad. I don't form crushes on future grooms. It goes against my personal rules. Plus, it's something I've never had to deal with, so no problem, right? But I feel all jittery standing in front of Alex right now, remembering the last time I saw him, when his lips were plastered on mine on a warm summer night ages ago. I've gone over that kiss in my mind so many times since then, I've totally idealized it. I'd idealized him. And now he's here. He flirted with me at Sweet Dreams. We had chemistry. If I'm being completely honest, I think we might still have chemistry. Right now, at this very moment. We're not even speaking. But it's the way he's looking at me. How I'm looking at him. Blinking, I tear my gaze from his, focusing on Tiffany, who's watching this entire transaction with a wary gaze. Nice to meet you. Again. I tell him, sounding fake as hell. As if I have no control of my extremities, I extend my hand and he takes it, giving it a firm shake, a gentle squeeze. A lingering gentle squeeze, his warm blue gaze locking with mine, his smile faint. Devastating. My knees go weak, and I release his hand as quickly as possible, but it's no use. I'm the one with hard eyes now, and this is so, so bad. Like, the worst thing that could happen ever. Two. This is the one I want, Tiffany tells him, tapping that coffin-shaped matte black painted nail on the Save the Date card she stopped on only a few minutes ago. What do you think? Do you like it? I'm already on my work iPad bringing up the order form we use for all our clients, focusing on work versus focusing on Alex Wilder. Why did it have to be him? And why is he with the pushy, snobby Tiffany? God. Even her name sucks, which is typical, I know, and such a cliche. But there they are, sitting across from me at the giant desk in the back of Noteworthy. The dashing, handsome Alexander Wilder. My brother's childhood best friend, and my first ever kiss. WTF! And his beautiful, red-haired fiancée, Tiffany.
Ick. Whatever you want, he says, sounding distracted.
I glance up briefly to find him staring at the phone he's clutching in his right hand. He lifts his head, as if he can feel my eyes on him, and when our gazes meet, I quickly look down, my cheeks heating at getting caught. I don't remember him being this attractive, and that is something I would definitely have remembered. I don't tell too many people my first kiss story because it's so silly. I was only, what, 12? Almost 13? He was 14. We were hiding in that old storage shed. I saw a giant spider web and practically leapt into his arms. He comforted me, and the next thing I knew, his lips were on mine, and it was nice.
You're not even looking at it.
Tiffany's whining again, but honestly, I kind of can't blame her. She's correct. He's definitely not looking at it, and I'm sure that's frustrating her. Crap, it's frustrating me. I glance up again to see he's once more concentrating on whatever's on his phone. Dark brows furrowed, lush lips parted. That look of concentration is undeniably sexy. My heart skips a beat. I tell my heart to knock it off. He lifts his head a little. His gaze slides to the right, and he gives the invitation she's still tapping with that black matte nail a perfunctory glance.
I love it.
Perfect.
She's beaming, first at Alex, then at me.
We'll definitely take them.
Oh my God. I so want to roll my eyes because seriously, he didn't even look at it. But she's so damn happy he's agreeable. I guess I'll restrain myself.
And the matching invitations too?
I ask.
Yes, Tiffany says with a firm nod. Plus the thank you cards.
Cha-ching! The triple play is happening.
How many do you need?
500,
Tiffany says. Alex shakes his head.
Absolutely not.
Alex?
She rests a proprietary hand on his forearm, her gaze beseeching when it meets his.
Your family knows at least that many people, if not more.
They're mostly business associates, and most of them we don't even like.
He turns that intense blue gaze on me.
200.
That's not enough.
Now Tiffany's looking at me, her gaze imploring.
We need at least 300.
250.
Alex counters. My fingers hover above the iPad's keyboard. It's always better to order extra, I offer nervously. That way you won't run out. It's better to have too many than not enough.
Caroline has a point.
Tiffany turns her full attention on Alex.
We'll send out 250 invitations, but we'll order 300, just in case.
Just in case, I add, smiling at Tiffany when our gazes meet, like we're in this together. When do you need them by? I ask as I start making my entries on the order form. This part is easy. The sale is practically confirmed, and you rarely lose them at this point, though of course, it can still happen. Usually, I'm extremely confident in my sales abilities, but for some reason, that's not happening today. I'm a little shaky, almost as if I drank too much caffeine, and there's a nervous fizz bubbling in my stomach. I blame it all on Alex. I still can't wrap my head around the fact that this gorgeous man was the skinny boy who'd been Carter's best friend. The skinny, shy boy who told me he liked me before he disappeared from our lives forever. Talk about a small world. Oh, probably in less than a week? Tiffany smiles sweetly while I look at her all bug-eyed. Less than a week? Is she serious? We need to mail them out as soon as possible, since the wedding is in June. Wait a minute. Did she just say June? It's currently March, and we're nearing the end of March. They are cutting it way close. Too close. Can I make a suggestion? Tiffany says nothing. She just blinks at me. It's Alex who answers.
Go for it.
Hearing him say go for it in that deep voice conjures up all sorts of fantastical things that I shouldn't be imagining. I shove those imaginings to the wayside. Shouldn't you forget about the save the date cards and just send out the wedding invitations? I can't believe I uttered those words, but it's true. When we're cutting it this close on the calendar, there's no point in sending out save the date cards. The actual wedding date is too close.
Oh, but I want the save the date cards so badly. They're just so cute,
Tiffany says, wrinkling her nose. Maybe we can make this work. Okay, what date in June is the wedding? I ask, my voice weak as I bring up the calendar and start counting the weeks.
June 8th,
she says. Of course it's in the beginning of the month. I offer them both a sympathetic smile like I'm about to deliver some bad news, and I guess I am if she's got her heart set on those particular cards. With this timeline, you really are better off skipping the save the date cards and going straight to the in... No, Tiffany interrupts me with one firm word. We must send out those cards first. If we can get them by next week, it shouldn't be a problem, right? I'm still looking at the calendar, but for different reasons now. Now she wants the cards by next week? At least she's giving me a little more time. The turnaround is at least 2 to 3 days, and that's being generous. The company we order from ships fairly quickly, though they won't guarantee delivery unless you actually pay for it. And those expedited shipping charges are no joke. It's tight, I tell Tiffany cautiously as I calculate the days in my head. But we might be able to pull it off.
Oh, thank goodness.
The relief in her voice is clear. You have to pay extra for shipping, though, I warn. Tiffany waves a hand, those black nails cutting through the air.
That won't be a problem.
I look at Alex, who's immersed in his phone once more. It's like he can sense my gaze upon him once again, and he glances up, though I can tell from his expression that he's distracted.
It won't.
We all remain quiet for a moment while I enter in the information and both Alex and Tiffany are on their phones. I show them the next day air shipping charge and Alex doesn't even bat an eyelash, though Tiffany's mouth drops open and she starts to protest.
That's sort of ridiculous, don't you think?
I don't control UPS or FedEx prices, I say with a little shrug.
They charge that much because they know they can command it,
Alex says, his deep voice sending the tiniest shiver rippling through me.
It's fine,
he tells me, his voice quiet, his gaze locked on mine. Good Lord, he's so attractive. How did this happen?
Order them next day, air.
Okay, I say with a little nod before I start tapping on the iPad. I'll just need to get all of your personal information and how you want the save the date cards to be worded. Once we get that order in, then we'll move on to the invitations. And that's where it gets awkward, because Alex rises to his feet, that ever-present phone clutched in his hand, gaze already focused on the front door.
I'll let you take care of everything else, Tiff. I need to get going.
Oh, okay. Her disappointment is clear, and all I can think about is how relieved I am to get him out of the building. He's too handsome, his presence too overpowering. And did I mention how delicious he smells? Because he smells absolutely delicious. Like expensive cologne and man. Weak description, I know, but that's the best I can do under these current circumstances. I'll be right back, she tells me before she chases after Alex, accompanying him to the front entrance, and I swear I can hear her kiss him, hear her tell him she loves him.
Barf.
And you know what? The dude never even said goodbye to me. Not a nice to see you again or thanks for your help. Nothing like that. What a rude bastard. Good. I'm extra glad he's a bastard because that makes it easier to hate him, you know? And I need to hate him. Well, maybe not hate him. That seems extreme. But I definitely need to not like him very much. He doesn't matter. So what if he was once my brother's best friend? So what if he kissed me when I was 12? That was a lifetime ago. I bet Carter barely remembers him. Alex Wilder is just another handsome workaholic who strolled into Noteworthy and hardly paid attention to me. Or to his freaking fiance. Good luck with that one, I want to tell her. But of course, I don't. 3. Tiffany is gone within 15 minutes of Alex's departure. She had all the information stashed in her notes on her phone, like she's prepared for this moment for months. Yet they only just thought of getting invitations within the last 72 hours, since that was when she first contacted me. So weird. I've never been happier to get rid of a client before in my life. Being in this biz, I've met with a lot of crappy couples since I took on this job almost 2 years ago, and I've dealt with some extremely difficult people. But I've never, not once, been attracted to the groom. The groom I already know and kissed, which makes it even weirder. Oh, I've dealt with attractive men. Gorgeous men. Hot men. But it's never been a big deal. When I've met one, I usually thought to myself, oh, wow, isn't he super good looking? And moved on. I've never run into the future groom before our appointment, though. Never flirted with a future groom before either. So there's that. Why did Tiffany's fiancé have to be him? And why did he have to be Carter's childhood friend? I need to just admit it now. He was my first crush. I thought his shy, nerdy ways were so adorable, and he was always so nice to me. None of Carter's friends were ever nice to me. He soon became a fond memory. A nostalgic one where you remember fun summers from your childhood days. I fully planned on making him fantasy material. Hot guy in a suit at the coffee shop. That image had all sorts of possibilities and so much freaking potential. Potential I'm not going to discuss at the moment. I am a lady who has manners on occasion. Now I know who hot suit guy is, and unfortunately, he belongs to someone else. Alexander Wilder, fiancé of Tiffany Ratcliffe. Not that he seemed that into her. More like he was into his phone, not his fiancé. Which sucks, right? Makes me feel sort of bad for Tiffany. I mean, she's going to marry this guy. I bet he's selfish in bed. Okay, that's the last thing I need to think about. Alex. In bed. Possibly naked. I close my eyes and shake my head, irritated with myself. I'm being ridiculous. Flirting with a guy who was my almost forgotten first crush just before 8 in the morning for approximately 2 minutes doesn't constitute anything. I need to let this go. I need to let him go. Alex Wilder is a taken man. Pushing him straight out of my brain, I focus on finishing the rest of the paperwork for their invites. We order everything digitally, but we keep hard copies too, since that's Iris's rules. Iris is the owner of Noteworthy, and she's like a second mom to me. She's also fairly old school, and while she loves modern conveniences like the internet, she is also a big believer in paper copies, considering she basically owns a paper store. So, I get it. I send off the final order and then print all the forms out, grabbing them from the printer tray and adding them to my newly made Ratcliffe Wilder folder, whistling low when I read that final total yet again. Tiffany's eyes had gone wide when I gave her the total earlier, but she handed over a black credit card with Alex's name on it and smiled.
"Hope you don't mind me using his credit card, even though he's not here," she said.
It's not our normal policy, but I didn't even bat an eyelash, just took the card and jammed it into the reader. Alex turned into one of those business types who makes a lot of money. I could tell by his suit, the Rolex on his wrist, how he didn't seem bothered by the price of anything. Most of our clients are wealthy. Carmel by the Sea is an adorable town on the California coast, and the residents in the area are well-to-do. Alex's address is in Carmel, no surprise, while Tiffany's address was in West Hollywood. Kind of a surprise.
"I worked as a model for a few years," she made sure to tell me. "Almost got hired at Sir, and would have been on the second season of Vanderpump Rules, but I lost the job to that one blonde chick on the show."
I absolutely, 100% did not believe her. I watch Vanderpump Rules. I know the plights of Tom and Tom and Kristen and Katie and Stassi and Jax, and there was no blonde girl who started during the second season, so whatever.
I also didn't question if she lives with Alex now. It's not my business. And besides, I don't want to know.
I'd rather imagine they live apart, and perhaps Alex has become so suddenly enamored with me that he's willing to leave Tiffany and we can make beautiful, sweet love together for all eternity.
No. I'm being ridiculous. He's engaged to be married now. He's off limits.
Off limits.
Sighing, I wrap up the order for the Save the Date cards, wedding invitations, and thank you cards, 300 each. I put an extra rush on the Save the Date cards, hit submit, and write order pending in red ink across the top of the form before I gather up the paperwork and drop it on Iris's desk. It'll be the first thing she'll see when she gets here, and it'll make her happy. Business hasn't been the best in the last few years. So many people can order their cards and invites online, and I understand why they do it. It's convenient, it's quick, and the selection is amazing.
Do they get our expertise, though? Our guidance? Our prices are just as good as the ones online, plus they get our opinions and assistance. And that, my friends, is valuable. Sometimes, though, it doesn't seem valuable enough. Everyone wants quick and easy nowadays. Instant gratification. Myself included. It's just the world we live in. The bell above the door rings, and I glance up to find Iris walking in, a slight scowl on her face.
"Caroline, my love, the front door wasn't locked,"
she says in a greeting as she approaches my desk.
"I thought I locked it when my clients left,"
I tell her weakly, though it's a total lie. As usual, I got distracted and forgot to lock the door.
"You didn't, darling, and that's so dangerous. Someone could have walked right in,"
she gently chastises as she makes her way past my desk and heads for her tiny office. I know the moment she spots the order form when I hear her gasp of delight.
"Oh, what a fantastic way to start the day."
"I figured you'd think so," I tell her, opening up a fresh screen on the computer and entering Alexander Wilder, Carmel, California, in the Google search bar.
I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm too curious to stop. I hit images first so I can stare at him and maybe find some photos where he looks bad to make myself feel better, but of course, he never looks bad. More like he always looks too damn good. I click out of the images before I drive myself crazy and try to focus on vital information. He's 28. I should have already figured this out, since Carter is as well. His father is a hotel developer, and he works for the family business, which I never knew. But why would I care about that sort of thing when we were kids?
He's also the oldest of three. He was on the football team in high school. He went to Stanford. Of course he did. His youngest brother has autism, and he supports Autism Speaks with donations and the occasional volunteer work. He's also known as a white knight within the local community, the oldest son and heir apparent to his family's fortune, plus a do-gooder,
a.k.a. the ultimate catch. His latest cause is spearheading a committee that wants to preserve landmark hotels all over California, restoring them to their previous pristine condition. Jeez, he's perfect on paper and in person. I despise him.
Okay, that's a little harsh. I don't despise him. But my newfound fascination with Alex Wilder is
annoying.
I need to focus on other things,
work things.
I check my phone. It's not even 10 o'clock yet, but since I showed up at 8, I get to leave 2 hours earlier than normal, which is awesome. Maybe I could take a walk on the beach, go for a run with Stella. Her fascination with exercise is mind-boggling, but sometimes an inspiration. Or maybe I could go home and take a nap. Yeah, that's probably what I'll end up doing.
Caroline, can you come in here for a moment?
Iris calls from her office. It's go time. I arrive back at our apartment a little after 3, iced latte from downstairs in hand, to find Stella curled up on the couch, wrapped up in a fleece blanket, and watching Netflix on her laptop.
To all the boys I've loved before again?
I tease as I shut and lock the door. I have no room to talk since I've seen that movie approximately 10 billion times since it came out.
Noah Centineo is hot like fire. Nothing else sounded good, Stella says, her voice muffled by the blanket that's way too close to her mouth. I set my purse on the narrow kitchen counter and take a sip from my drink. This isn't as good as yours, I tell her. Becky, one of the late afternoon baristas at Sweet Dreams Cafe, made my latte, and while she's a nice person and a pretty decent coffee drink maker, she's not nearly as good as Stella.
It's a 2-latte day,
Stella asks. She knows I'm addicted to coffee, but I do on occasion like to watch my caffeine intake.
Yeah.
I join her on the couch, tugging the end of her blanket so it drapes across my lap. She hits the space bar on her keyboard, stopping Peter Kavinsky mid-sentence.
How was work?
I ask.
Same old.
Stella says, sitting up straighter and suddenly watching me with a particular gleam in her eye.
Except for the dude in the suit.
Great. I do not want to talk about the dude in the suit.
What dude in the suit?
Oh, I am such a liar.
You know who I'm talking about.
Stella grabs one of the throw pillows and tosses it at my face. I grab it before it hits me, clutching it to my front.
What about him?
I ask warily.
After you left, he asked about you,
Stella says with a little smirk. Now it's my turn to sit up straighter.
What do you mean? What did he ask?
He asked me if your name was Caroline, since he heard me call you that. He also asked what your last name was.
The smug look on Stella's pretty face tells me she's feeling pretty pleased.
Please tell me you didn't give him all my personal deets.
I can imagine her listing my stats, my address, my social security number.
Of course I didn't.
Stella rolls her eyes. He could be a serial killer for all we know.
This is why we're the best of friends. We think alike.
Here's the deal. I pause. I know him.
Stella sucks in an audible breath.
What? How?
You won't believe it. It's so weird. I lean in closer. He was Carter's best friend in middle school, before he switched to another high school, went to boarding school or something like that.
Get out.
Stella shoves my shoulder.
I'm serious.
I'm thinking he remembered me because you told him my name. Or maybe he recognized me too? I don't know. I think I've changed a lot since I was 12.
I make a face.
God help me, I hope I've changed a lot since I was 12. I was an awkward, messy child with a mouth full of metal and crazy hair.
What a coincidence. And you didn't recognize him?
Not at first, I say with a shake of my head. When I knew him, he was tall and gangly with pimples and braces and he wore glasses.
That doesn't sound good.
Stella makes a face. It was just the typical teenage awkward stage, you know? He was actually really sweet to me. We go quiet for a moment, both of us thinking our thoughts, until I finally have to ask something.
So, did he say anything else about me?
I try to make my voice sound casual, but it doesn't work. I sound like a hyped-up teen who just sucked helium out of a balloon.
Not really, Stella shrugs. Maybe he'll come into the cafe again tomorrow morning.
And I won't be there because I'm never there before 8,
I tell her. Sometimes you are, she points out, and I shake my head.
Rarely. Besides, it doesn't matter.
I pluck at the blanket in my lap.
Ugh, I hate how defeated I sound.
Stella frowns. Why not?
Wait a second. I never even told her how I know who he is.
You won't believe what happened.
What? What?
She reaches out and grabs hold of my foot, giving it a vigorous shake. So I explain to her the appointment, snotty Tiffany, the fiancé who's keeping us waiting, only to finally enter the shop and reveal himself as... Turns out he was hot suit guy.
I finish.
Alex, Carter's old best friend.
Oh no, are you serious? Stella asks, her big brown eyes even bigger than normal. Now it's my turn to roll my eyes.
Yes, Stelle, I'm serious.
He's Tiffany's fiancé?
Yes.
Shit!
Stella punches the top of the couch with enough force that I jump.
Geez, she can be violent sometimes.
I thought he was into you.
I can't help the tiny thrill that courses through me at her words. He's definitely not into me. Nope, he can't be. He has a fiancé. He's getting married. I add heavy emphasis on that last word.
He was flirting with you, Stella says.
No. I wave a hand, ignoring the hope blooming in my chest. See? I'm not the only one who noticed the flirting.
He was just being friendly, probably trying to figure out who I was, since we sort of know each other.
No, I know flirting when I see it, Stella points at me. And he was totally flirting. With you.
There is absolutely no reason for us to talk about this, I say with a sigh and a pitiful little shake of my head. He's a taken man.
But you said his fiancé sucks.
She kind of does, but maybe he sucks now too. A lot can change in...
I calculate the last time I saw him.
14 years? And he was friends with my brother.
I grimace.
My thoughts on Carter aren't the best.
Right. 2 14-year-old boys hanging out are usually nothing but trouble.
Stella mutters, making me laugh. Seriously, he doesn't matter. If I keep saying that, maybe I'll believe it.
If you say so.
Stella scowls.
Maybe he's a cheater. That's why he flirted with you.
Jump to conclusions, why don't you?
You never know.
He doesn't seem that into her. When Stella sends me a look, I continue. His fiancé. He'd rather interact on his phone than listen to her.
What does he do?
When I send her a blank look, she continues.
For work?
Oh, I guess his family owns a bunch of hotels?
Huh.
Stella goes quiet, staring off into space for a few seconds before snapping her fingers.
Wait a minute.
His name is Alex. Is his last name Wilder? Yeah. How did she know that?
Well, holy shit, Caroline. He's part of the Wilder Corporation. They own hotels all over the country.
Stella starts bouncing in place.
He comes from big money. Huge.
Yeah, I kind of already figured that out. Well, sort of. I knew his father was a hotel developer. I just didn't realize that they were a large corporation. I didn't look at the business articles when I Googled him. I thought his family owned a couple of those run-down places in Monterey that charge an arm and a leg because of their location.
No wonder this Tiffany wants to marry him. He's loaded.
There's a gleam in Stella's eye as she leans toward me.
How is the ring?
What ring?
Her engagement ring. Was it massive? I bet it was at least 5 carats. Maybe bigger?
Okay, here's what's weird.
I don't remember her wearing a ring. Say what? Come on, you can't forget that type of thing.
Exactly. And I'm saying I don't remember her wearing one. At all.
And that's something I would have noticed. Not that I'm hot to get married anytime soon, but I do notice diamonds, especially big ones on a woman's ring finger. I see a lot of them in my business. Large, small, different colored stones, traditional settings, modern settings. I've seen it all. And I know I didn't see a ring on Tiffany's finger.
That's freaking strange. I have a hard time believing he wouldn't put a ring on it, Stella says.
More like I have a hard time believing Tiffany wouldn't demand he put a ring on it, I add. We both laugh at that, and then my mind, like usual, starts to wander. I glance around our tiny apartment. Did I mention that it's directly above Sweet Dreams Cafe and Bakery? And that it always smells like coffee beans and butter up here? I can't complain, though, because Stella's parents only make us pay for utilities, and that's it. I'm saving so much money living in this tiny place. Our bedrooms are basically the size of a walk-in closet, and our bathroom has a narrow shower stall, a pedestal sink, and a toilet. It's not much, but I can call it home, and it only costs me on average around $100 a month. I'm lucky, right? This is why I don't complain about our cramped living space. I wish we could find decent